Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to my pals living in the Everglades, eating the gator, hunting the python. Good morning to my other buddies living in their desert of personal regret. Good morning to Kansas-style lovers, to Kansas-style farmers, to Kansas-style pigs. Good morning. Eat your figs, because it's April the 8th, 2025, and it's right after 4 a.m. Have you ever imagined to yourself, like, what if a disease took on human form? What if some horrible disease, some monstrous killer thing that tears your butt cheeks out and leaves your insides like grout? A horrible, horrible disease that breaks every bone, that leaves you all alone. What if it looked like a person? What if it looked like a human? You ever think about that? So there's this person, a Rabbi Shmuley, and his name sounds made up. I just got to say this right now. If you looked at the picture, any picture of this guy, you might actually make a solid argument that he's fake, that he's constructed, that this is an actor. Like so many other actors right now playing a role. I just gotta say that up front. And his last name, like the last name Wigington, is suspect. It's almost like the name, along with the person, is designed to be repulsive. Because when I think about Rabbi Shmuley, his perspectives on what the IDF has done in Gaza, his views on Greater Israel, frankly, his views on everything, that by itself is kind of disgusting. But when I think about the guy, it's not just that he looks like herpes. He does. If herpes took human form, it would look like this guy. But I think it's more like this. What if herpes went to a bar one night, got really fucking drunk, so he had his goggles on, and then herpes took a look at HIV and said, oh, she looks kind of cute. And then herpes and HIV went home. Herpes turned on the, you know, romantic music. Barry White. For tonight, grab the gin. We're staying in. We're staying in, HIV. And then 9 months later, a little Rabbi Cooley, a little Gobi Glooley, a little Mr. Shmuley jumps out. The child of herpes and HIV. And if you throw in the fact that as he jumps out into the world, he picks up genital crabs, then yeah, that's what this guy would look like. That's what this guy sounds like. His message is disgusting. And he is promoted. Just like Jared Fitton, just like Anna Banana Merlana, just like a lot of other fakers that are easy to find on social media. It's not easy to be heard about this, but it's easy to find the fakers. And they have these common scripts. Sometimes it's the angry Jewish person. Sometimes it's the crazy patriot. Sometimes it's the left-wing progressive account. Sometimes they flip over. Like there's this one weird, weird account. Angela Bella Camino, whatever. I don't think it's a real person. But even if it were, a year ago, she was like, Trump is literally Hitler. And now it's like, whatever, Trump is maybe not so bad. And all these other people that hate on the Trump and the tariffs in America, huh, they could be bad. It's absurd. if you ignore how absurd it is, you can kind of get along with it, but all of it's so dumb. It's not just that this Rabbi Maguli is repulsive, but it seems as if he's designed to be repulsive. A lot like the way that Al Gore and little Greta Thunberg are designed to look foolish, stupid, dumb. Just like every climate conference where the people fly in on their private jets, it's designed to look dumb. The king does not care if you smile. And I don't mean the Lord in heaven. I mean the earthly kings. The earthly kings do not care if you smile. The earthly kings do not care if you're happy. The earthly kings don't really give a fuck about humor. So they don't take something funny and make it funnier. They would just assume you never smile again. No. Earthly kings prop up people like Rabbi Shmuley and Al Gore and Greta Thunberg and other people in order to make something serious look like a joke. Next topic, right? But like I said, if herpes and HIV had a baby, that'd be Rabbi Shmuley. These are the rules of time travel. And you need to understand, these are the rules of time travel. There might be more rules. I don't give a fuck. But these are the rules of time travel. If you want to travel through time, you'll be a giant slime. You'll be a piece of scum. But you can't be that dumb because you built yourself a time machine. And that's awesome. That's awesome. The first rule of time travel. If time travel is possible, if you can travel through time, I don't mean forward through time. That's non-controversial. But if time travel is possible, to go into the past, don't be an ass. Somebody already did it. If you can travel through time like a rocket ship guy, like H.G. Wells, no one ever tells. But if you could do that, somebody already done did it. And it wasn't you. That's the first rule of time travel. Somebody already did it. Rule two, you can never go home again. You can never go home again. You might think you can, but you can't. Once you jump straight into that past, you become the killer of all things. The future you came from becomes a probability cloud. Rule two, baby. You can't go home again, fucker. Rule three. You don't know nothing. You think you know something. You don't know nothing about time travel until you've actually done it. But guess what? Rule one says you didn't, so fuck off. Rule four of time travel. The Fractor is the time traveler. The Fractor survives paradoxes because the Fractor is cursed and the Fractor must suffer. By going backwards in time, by cutting off that branch, you become the worst kind of fucking Hitler or Stalin or Mao. So listen to me right now. It's convenient to think that you go back in time and kill your grandpa and somehow you disappear because, hey, your suffering would be over. But the Fractor is a property, a carrying role. It's what's left over. Essentially, the Fractor is the fractional portion of causality that is left over. It is you. You are cursed. If you go backwards in time, you are erasing people, events, things that happened. And it doesn't matter how far you go back. Go back 5 minutes, go back 5 days, go back 5 years, and you probably just simply wiped out a whole shit ton of people. Because you can't go home again. Rule 5 of time travel, you can't actually travel through time. You can't travel through the past. The past is fixed and permanent. You can't travel through the past. You can't go there from here. Rule 5 of time travel is you can't travel through time, but what you can do... You can dilate the present. You can dilate the now, such that the trailing edge extends deeper into the past, while the leading edge of the now, always remains fixed like a razor. You dilate the present, extending the trailing edge to max. Assume that's 50 years. You'll create Mandela effects and deja vus, and people will get migraine headaches and other anomalies as the result of things that are unresolved, in the sense that the definition of the now is superposition. Superposition and the present is the same thing. And until it gets resolved, the cat is alive and the cat is dead. Kool-Aid, Ed McMahon, you know what I'm talking about. You dilate the present to extend the trailing edge by 50 years. And then you want to go backwards. And that's rule 6. To go backwards in time, you use inverse holographic projection to distribute antiphotons, negative energy, throughout the 3D body down to every electronic field, specifically for every atom and every molecule, perfectly tuned. You change the state of the object vis-a-vis the dilated present, making its general entropy more dense, more stable. And like a lead brick sinking into wet concrete, your ship will drift to the edge of the now, the edge of the present, because remember, you can't actually travel through time, you fuck. And then you turn off your time drive, and the future is now reset to the when you're at and where you're coming from is gone. Now, forward time travel, which is simpler, if not as controversial. With forward time travel, as with going backwards, you can keep X, Y, and Z vector fixed while only impacting T. And you do this, well, with ordinary photons using the same technique, calibrated to the electron energy fields of every atom and every molecule of your body. But by tricking the body, taking advantage of Einstein's relativity theorem, time does dilate, and in that sense, you do go forward, 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 forward. This is not controversial. I mean, the technique is, but you create no paradoxes by traveling forward in time because you're already doing it. It's just a question of skipping moments. Whether you're, traveling in the spaceship, at 99.99 run on decimal the speed of light, or whether you're Rip Van Winkle in the cave. In both cases, you kind of wake up after 50 years and you're here, but you create no contradictions. You opted out of causality for 50 years. Those are the current rules of time travel. Now, to build a device like this, you would probably have to be super duper rich, like, I don't know, Bill Gates rich. And if you did build this and it worked, which means it was allowed to work, then you've got some eschatological, theological, metaphysical questions, especially if you're a Christian. Me personally, I think a device like this might be allowed to work up to a couple years. I don't think it would be allowed to work in any bigger scope, and I don't think it would be allowed to work at all. if you believe in God, I think when you get ready to push the button, you're getting ready, everything's flashing, probably you get a visit from an angel. And the angel makes you an offer you can't refuse. But if there is no God, then time travel's already happened. And if you think about the current state of reality, like not just what it appears to be, but what you sense it was and could be and might be, all the absurdities of it, when you think about the current timeline, quote unquote, do you ever get the sense that somebody's already fucked with it? Next topic. So, I've discussed the time travel thing before. This next subject I discussed, I think the first time I talked about it was after I read that article. I think it was one of these sci-. Oh my God. What is it? Anyways. There's some of these really crappy, I don't even remember the names of them sometimes, but these really shitty magazines that you can read, you can read about science and technology. And I remember reading one of these articles online, of course, about Lockheed, that within 10 years, they would have a fusion reactor that fit in the back of your truck. Now, keep in mind, this is what they said in 2014. Which means everybody should probably have a fusion reactor that fits in the back of their truck if you believe the stupid shit. But it's all bullshit. It's all crap. About the time I read that article on a podcast that I don't even think it exists any longer. I think between YouTube and the Sturm und Drang of being homeless and other things, I couldn't even find the file. But assume that that file existed. I talked about something at the time, and it dealt with the question of fissionable material. Like, what if it were possible to create weapons-grade fissionable, gosh, I gotta drink some coffee here, weapons-grade fissionable material. What if it were possible to do so without a breeder reactor? And breeder reactors are these reactors that are very dangerous because you kind of have to leave them half open. That's the whole point. You're breeding radionucleotides. And one kind of radionucleotide you breed is plutonium. But what if it were not only possible to create weapons-grade fissionable material without a breeder reactor, but what if you could take almost every element on the periodic table and turn it into weapons-grade fissionable material? Or think of it this way. What if you could use a gamma-ray laser to knock out neutrons within the nucleus? I mean, I don't want to oversimplify, but think of it like Jenga. And then it's a question of at what point does it become unstable? And that's a scientific study. You can do that at the atomic scale. You can say to yourself, at what point does carbon become so unstable that a slow or low energy neutron can cause spontaneous fission? It sounds crazy. I get it. A lot of you will say, Dan, that could never happen. There's no way to take just any old element and make it unstable. But in reality, everything that is put together can be taken apart. All of these elements we think about, these things come from cosmic events, if you believe what you're told. You know, suns, as they die, produce new elements. Supernova, nova produce new elements. New elements come from the furnace of the universe, and they are put together, frankly, from bits and pieces and components of what was simpler, what might have been just stray hydrogen. And it's built from there, if you believe what you're told. Oh, yeah. Popular mechanics and popular science. Oh, my God. Yeah, those are great, great little sources of information if you want to be very confused about the future. Yeah, Lockheed said 10 years ago we would have fusion in the pickup truck. And of course, that's bullshit. Of course, that was a lie. I knew it was a lie then. I said, guys, this is never going to happen. This has been promised every 10 years my whole life. And people were like, even listeners who enjoyed me said, Dan, you know, you need to be more positive. And it's like, listen, this is never going to happen. It's quite possible that fusion, the way the sun does it, doesn't scale down. It's quite possible that it doesn't. We might have evidence of this. Jupiter, for example, there are lots of gas giants that could tip into being some type of a sun or a star if they simply had a little bit more mass. That's a theory. No one's ever tested it because no one has the power to throw around gas giants. But it's possible that we're never going to do fusion like that ever unless we can, unless we're doing it at a cosmic scale. Which means, really, we would be better off building a Dyson sphere and taking all the mass in the solar system and wrapping ourselves around the sun. Then we've got our fusion reactor that lasts forever. And if you open up a little end on that Dyson sphere, as I've told you guys before, now you got a Dyson hot rod. And then you can collect more, you know, cosmic garbage, all kinds of crap, and build a giant super starship that's a billion miles long. And then ultimately, as you cruise through the universe at 50% the speed of light, you start toppling over civilizations because, hey, everybody makes waves. But what if we're on the verge of something like what I just described? It might not involve gamma ray lasers. It might involve advanced work with magnetic field manipulation. There are lots of possibilities. It might even involve neutral particle beam technology. Who knows? But imagine you could generate weapons-grade fissionable material without building a reactor, without all the concrete and steel. Imagine this particular technology could fit in your basement. And maybe it cost $10 million. When I was thinking about the actions of our government over the last decade, and really the last 5 years, especially since 2020, right? One of the questions that pops up when you think about what they've done during Bo Blimp Doc is motive. Means, opportunity, that's easy. They have all of it. They've had all of it. They can print all the money they want to. They have. And if you think Papa Blump is going to leave office with a lower debt, I hate to break it to you, I don't even think he's going to leave office. But I think it's worse than that. He has the pathos of somebody that's not going to make it. And so it looks more like J.D. Trance, but who knows? We'll see. But let's play pretend for a second. If he's still in office 4 years from now, the debt will be greater. We will owe more money. And there's a very good chance that we will be in the depths of an even deeper depression. You know, people are talking about recession right now, and I think it's great, but in reality, the world has probably been in a global depression, papered over, probably since 2008, at least. A long time, more than a decade. And so all this fantasy talk about soft landings and recessions is great. Stagflation, that sounds great. Way better than what we've been going through, actually. Despite all the gaslighting. And I met a gaslighter a couple years ago. He was a guy, he said he was going to live to be 200 years old. And then I found out he died. So I'm not surprised he died because he wasn't going to make it. But I don't even know if the guy was real. But he was definitely a gaslighter. And he would gaslight about how much worse it was in the 1970s. Oh, Dan, it was way worse. Except I was there. I may have been a kid, but I was there. And no. No, sorry. That guy, I don't know if he was real or not, but he's part of that little constellation of dipshits that has been orbiting around me since I first went online in the year 2011. And suppose it got a lot worse with the Goat King, Jared Fitton, piece of shit. If the powers that be knew that the threshold for being a nuclear power was about to drop in a huge way, in a non-linear discontinuous way, that just about any old country, hell, any old terrorist organization could start cranking out their own nukes, then that would also explain a lot of the bullshit of the last 5 years. Because you do have to lock that shit down. It's not just that that technology lets you build your own nukes, it's more interesting. That technology actually allows you to build a workable fission drive. A workable fission drive, a drive for space that would be functional, and could frankly be just as effective as having a workable fusion drive. And the thing about the fission, at least it scales down. The fusion probably doesn't scale down. Probably doesn't. So yeah, I think they would lock down the world because it would do two things. It would allow people to exert power in a way that hasn't happened in more than 100 years, and it would allow people to get the fuck out of here. If space is a thing, if you can go to Mars, if you can go to other planets, if those are realities and not just other kinds of lies, because they could be other kinds of lies. But if those things are true, or if this is an infinite plane and we can bust through the dome or whatever, two things would be true. A, we would have power, and B, we could get the fuck out of here. We could leave. Next topic.
Right.
So here's an article that's really, really critical, and I'm going to read it. I don't know why. I think it's critical. You have to understand how based it is. It's taking seconds upon seconds to load. I'm sure I'm special. I'm special. Special treatment. I'm just waiting for it to load. Wow. You know, it's funny, Bluehost, the last few months, has started treating me the way that GoDaddy was treating me in 2021 before they canceled me. So let's see what happens next, Mr. Jorgensen. Anyways, here's a headline from People magazine. Horse girl is half human, half horse, and a full musician. How she went from the farm to Coachella. This was written by Jack Irvin and published on April the 7th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. The German musician DJ opens up to People about her fantastical backstory and what it's like working in the music industry after years in the animal kingdom. Horse Girl says she's half horse, half human. She's gearing up to perform at Coachella. Here's a quote from Horse Girl. If you're doing something that is new, that is different, you are always going to maybe polarize. Well, that's actually, yeah. You've never met an artist quite like Horse Girl. The German musician and DJ who goes by the name of Stella Stallion identifies as half horse, half human, both on and off stage. Since hitting the scene in 2022, she's taken the electro dance world by storm with songs like My Bam, My Rules, and Material Horse. If you're confused, that's understandable. Having not revealed her true identity to date, Horse Girl consistently remains in character and physically presents as a horse, complete with a muzzle, pointed ears peeking out of her hair, and a signature heart-shaped white spot between her eyes. The rising star, whose debut EP, VIP, Very Important Pony, is out now. It's garnered a cult fan base of over 560,000 monthly Spotify listeners and performed at iconic locations like Berlin's Bergen Club and Electric Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas. This month, she's set to perform at Coachella in Indio, California. Ahead of her performance at the festival, Horse Girl sat down with People on Zoom to discuss her fantastical backstory, misconceptions about her artistry, thoughts on Chapel, Roan's, Pink Pony Club, and more. Oh, I'm done here. You can read the back and forth between People and Horse Girl. what's up? Dan, why'd you talk about Horse Girl? Why don't we see if we can't go past Horse Girl and find meaning in all this bullshit? So, there's a lot of confusion about how ice behaves among people that are coping right now, if you're coping. If you're concerned about ice on planet Earth melting and raising the sea level, it's not the ice in the water that's the problem. I never thought, you know, people would need to explain this. It's Archimedes, it goes back a long ways, but the ice in the water is not the problem. It's already displacing. It's already doing what it's doing. If all the ice that's in the water melts, you're not going to really see much sea level rise. But the ice on land? Like the Greenland ice sheet. Oh, Greenland again. Oh. Almost we want to, you know, we want to put some place off limits, right? Kind of like 70% of the Arctic Circle start in 2022. Oh. And Trump was going to end the Ukraine war, right? Yeah, he didn't do that yet. Probably won't. If I'm right about the worst case scenario, this is connected. I have an article. It's from Countercurrents. I am not going to read it because it does fit into the category of my bugbear, not yours. It's not based upon, you know, Al Gore's bugbear. It's not based on Greta Thunberg's bugbear. It's not anyone else's bugbear. And I don't think it has anything to do with poor people or people existing. But history is history, and every once in a while in the 1920s, a French farmer would hit a Big Bertha shell with their plow and blow themselves up and their family. Like that, shit can happen. And you didn't necessarily do anything wrong, then exist and be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So if in fact we're experiencing some type of rapid permafrost collapse, here's what you need to know about the ice. The ice in the water is not the fucking problem. The ice on Greenland is the fucking problem. The ice anywhere on land is the problem. If all of that ice melts, then yeah, the sea level goes up by about 100 to 200 feet. Nobody knows for sure. There's something called geologic rebound, which is happening right now in Antarctica. Because underneath all of that rebound are all the clathrates. They say, oh, we didn't know they were there. Ancient permafrost in the form of methane. But it's not, is it? It's not permafrost any longer, because permafrost means permanently frozen, and that's no longer true. In fact, you could make a strong argument that permafrost, in a sense, even if it still exists, is a diminishing concern, and in a while it simply won't exist. There'll be no permafrost. We might have seasonal snow, seasonal ice, and that's assuming that the new equilibrium state we end up at is hothouse Earth. But permanent ice, ice that's there year-round, it just might not ever exist again. Ever. So the article's about building seawalls. And a lot of people mock the issue of sea level rise. I don't care. I think it's an issue right now that is a good example of non-linear discontinuous transitions. And right now, it's not an issue. When it does become an issue, you won't have any time. If you live in Florida, you're basically living on a reef. In a very short period of time, it will become a reef. The rest of the world might end up like Florida Man World. But Florida itself becomes a reef. And again, not because of cheeseburgers, not because you drove a fucking pickup truck, not because you go to Walmart. Don't get suckered by the oldest, dumbest story ever. The oldest story ever, if the building's aflame, find the poor people to blame. Don't get suckered by that shit. What you can be certain of is that that's not true. It's not because the weakest people in society did something, and ergo, we gotta kill a bunch of them. That's the old story, and that's a lie. That's a lie that murderers tell. That's a lie that people like Rabbi Shmuley tell. People that look like herpes. It's not just we think they have herpes. They look like what herpes would look like if it took human form. People like that. Anyways, next topic. I don't want to spend time on that one. So this next topic deals again with the question of what is a Jewish person. I'm not going to read the article. It's from Forward. It deals with Frankly, it's a dated article from more than 10 years ago that deals with the analysis of genetic testing, genetic material collected in Israel, and what people there represent in terms of their heritage. And the baseline argument is that a lot of these folks are not genetically connected to the Middle East, but they are genetically connected to some place called Khazaria, which was a Turkic empire in the Middle Ages. And this issue makes a lot of people upset. Are you saying that the people that claim to be from that part of the world are actually basically from basically a part of Russia today? Yeah. And I knew about this. I studied this stuff in school. And it's kind of funny because things that used to be not controversial, like knowing that Khazaria was a place and knowing that a lot of people that claimed to be from the Middle East were really from there, that used to be not so controversial because it was simply understood to be true at the time. And now it's like you bring it up and you're definitely some type of anti-Semite. Anyways, you guys can dig into this. I think it was 2013 when a particular scientist revealed that his studies showed that the people in Israel were not from the Middle East. You can dig deeper yourself. I don't really care either way. I just think Zionism is a cult of suffering and it's kind of evil. And it would be great if people gave it up, you know, get out of the cult. Israel's like Jonestown. The sooner you leave, the better for you. I mean, whether you like it or not, if you live in Israel, understand this. You are surrounded by people that you have pissed off for 60, 70 years. You're surrounded by people that hate your fucking guts, and there's more of them than you. And as long as the United States, I guess, threatens other people, okay, you've got a bully buddy, but is that really going to work forever? And as far as nuclear weapons go, I mean, that's its own kind of special game, right? It's about fear. But there's a battle between madness and fear. And eventually madness wins. And people don't care how many fucking nukes you have. This one letter received by the FBI stunned them. It was late one night, an FBI agent, Donald Laxton, was the one in charge on the phone. And he got his mail drop and he opened up this one letter from an escapee that stunned the FBI. Dear FBI, fuck you. Dear FBI, fuck you. Fuck you, FBI. I love you. I miss you. I miss what you did to me. Dear FBI, how are you doing? Dear FBI, did you ever get married? Dear FBI, where you going, baby? Signed, escapee. Whatever. The escapee's letter that stuns you. It stuns you. It stuns you. It always stuns you. So I don't give investment advice, and here's why. I lived in a camper last year. I have no resources, and I am not invested in anything. The stock market goes up. I don't really give a fuck. The stock market goes down. I couldn't give a fuck. If you're invested in crypto, I really couldn't give a fuck, and good luck. Good luck getting out of that. Like, if anything has the form of a financial kind of tar baby or Chinese finger trap, it's crypto. You can get into crypto easy enough. Good luck getting out when the time comes. It ain't going to be so easy. And by the time you get out, you're going to find out the value dropped a lot in the interim. But here's what I'll tell you about the stock market crashing. I think it's all kind of fiction. I think the stock market going up is its own fiction at this point, and the stock market going down is its own kind of fiction, and it serves a purpose. I would say just about everything right now Whether it's some crazy person getting paid to key a Tesla, whether it's the markets or whatever, whether it's Rabbi Shmuley's, and who the hell knows what's going on in the horror show of the Middle East, right? And Trump, Papa Blump. Whatever it is right now connected to this phase of history, it looks like a lot of smoke. It doesn't look like anything other than smoke. So here's the rule I would follow. If you can still buy diesel fuel, and it's affordable, which I believe is implied and you can still buy. If you can buy diesel fuel, but it's $800 a gallon, then it doesn't matter. You can't buy diesel fuel probably, neither can I. Maybe a gallon, right? On payday. If you can still go to the grocery store and buy eggs that you can afford, buy meat you can afford, and some other types of produce you can afford, if the electricity is still on, the water is still being pumped, fluoride or no, right? If those things are true, then you should buy the dip. Because they will be pumping and dumping this thing until doomsday. So the best advice would be, if you want to play the game, keep playing. They will keep playing the game. I think the game will look awesome days, if not weeks, after there's no food at the grocery store. After everything's cleared out, your little app on your phone will probably still be telling you that you're worth $1 million. Now, of course, there's not any food you can buy with the money you're worth, but hey, your house is worth $3 million. You're worth like $2 million now. It just happened. You're a huge thing. You just can't buy any fucking food. That's it. I don't think there's any other meaningful metric at this point. We live in a hall of mirrors. We live in an upside down, sideways paradise. And most of what people are seeing right now that they're calling signal is noise. It's like my friends from Mr. Jorgensen. I get dozens of emails from them a day. Some of them I take a glance at, some of them I don't. And if you ask yourself, what's the purpose? Well, a few weeks ago, you might have said, unhinged shithead. But after a couple months or whatever, you begin to realize that no, it's something else. It is designed to be some type of signal, but in truth, it's just noise. And there's a lot of noise out there. And the best advice I can give you is don't get suckered by it, right? And that includes the quote-unquote anti-Semitism, Israel, Zionism, limited fucking hangout. I'm not saying that the Zionists are cool. I think they kind of suck. And as far as the state of Israel goes, well, I hate all governments. So the state of Israel is just on the list. And they're definitely in the top five of shitty governments. It really is like Jonestown with nukes. It's that creepy from my perspective. But even if that's all true, it still looks like a story that's being promoted to confuse, to baffle, to suspend disbelief, to enrage. Its existence is as a giant wound, just like the COVID, just like all the little trauma monkeys they throw at you. Like, oh my gosh, Dan, I was on TikTok or I was on YouTube and I saw a video of kids breaking into a store and stealing all the shoes. All of these things are canned. All of them. The fucking murder hornets, the flash mobs, the drag queen story time, the Ukraine soldier or Russian soldier with the drone coming down and blowing them up. It could be real. A lot of it looks canned to me. Canned, fake, bullshit. So buy the dip. As long as all of those things are true, you got food, you got diesel, you got electricity, you can still go out and go to restaurants and shit. If things are still kind of normal, then my recommendation would be, yeah, why not buy the dip? Warren Buffett will. That, in some ways, the Warren Buffett move of a year ago, of about a year and a half ago, of starting to pull his money out, it telegraphed something, it signaled in a way something, but in some ways it was noise too. I think he jumps back in because the game is still rolling, because Bo Blimp Doc is still on. We're not in Grinken time yet. When we get to Grinken time, yeah, it'll be its own story, and you won't care about the value of your stocks. It won't be an issue. It won't be a concern. So buy the fucking dip. That's what I say. Next topic. There's a magic word. Even if you're a turd, you can be Rabbi Shmuley, and I can tell you truly. There's a magic word, and it will give you GERD. But this magic word, if you hold it in your hand, you can do anything. You can bomb Japan. Just one magic word makes it possible. Holocaust. If you want to kill and rape and destroy, if you want to rip off the shit that poor people own, if you want to have the worst homeowners association in the history of the world, and believe you me, the neighbors moving in are crap heads too. If you want to go and steal people's land, you just need one magical word. Holocaust. If you want to drop 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile, nobody's going to smile. But you can make them happy with this one neat trick, dick. Just go on TV and say Holocaust. And then you can set people on fire. You can do whatever your desire. It's a lot like that. It's one neat trick. Damn, that's terrible. You're a jackass. Okay, so I did something the other day, and I don't know if it's a pattern yet, so I don't really want to talk about it too much. But I did something the other day. My Bible that had been sitting on my desk here for since I moved here and was sitting in the camper for the last year, my Bible that I more or less haven't opened since I left Utah, I opened it. I opened it randomly. I went to a page. I took off my glasses because, yes, I'm nearsighted, but I don't have bifocals. I took off my glasses, and I landed up at Proverbs. I landed at Proverbs 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. If you say, if you tell me it looks like you have a case of the Mondays, it'll be taken as a curse. If you yell loudly, good luck, with a frown on your face, like a fucking disgrace, it'll be taken as a curse. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. And this is something I'm guilty of, especially in the last year, but maybe mostly, primarily, whatever, in the last few months. And it's not just because of the cyber stalking. That happens to people, and it sucks. And it's not just because of the suspect gang stalking. That happens to people. That sucks. And it's not just because of all the other things that come along with it, because that happens to a lot of people, and it sucks. I have been frustrated because I have felt wrathful. I have had feelings towards, frankly, objects of evil, where I want the Lord to do, you know, the Lord to do what the Lord can do, right, in the Old Testament, and just smite some people, right, take them out. And that's not good. That's not a good state of mind for a person that calls himself a Christian. And so, and in some cases, I do the soft bullshit. Like, I just say, good luck, but you know what I mean. I'm cursing people. And I need to stop that. It is an angry response to a fucked up world. It's an angry response to a situation that nobody can change. because nobody wanted it any different. And that probably includes me too. I'm 55 years old. I don't think voting ever worked, but if it did work, I could have voted years and years ago, maybe, but I doubt it. I guess there are things I could have done 20, 30 years ago, but I doubt it would have made any difference, really. It would have had no impact on 9/11. And frankly, 9/11 was one of those first big dominoes, one of them, not the only one, that really kind of wrecked the modernity myth, the myth of modernity we were sold in the 90s. Everything's going to get better and better and better forever, right? Now we talk about whether or not we want to remove Clean Water Act rules so people can dump sewage in the water you drink. And this is the Trump administration. Make America healthy again by adding sewage to the water. Now we talk about how much the microplastics are everywhere and probably in our brains, probably killing us. And so that modernity picture, the picture that includes the Lockheed thing, oh, you're going to have a fusion reactor in your Toyota pickup. No, more likely ISIS will have guns from NATO in the back of their pickup, Charlie. But we were sold a myth, and we've talked about this so many times before, and it turned out to be total bullshit. And it would be bad enough if it were just that, kind of like the COVID. The COVID was bullshit, but maybe it's over. That's great. It's over, right? But the problem is this modernity myth keeps getting sold over and over again. And it's not the people selling it that frustrate me the most right now. It's the people buying it. Because they've had the Lucy football thing over and over again. And yet they still buy it. They buy this idea that somehow magically, you know, and probably Elon Musk will do it, right? But magically, everything is going to somehow work out through technology, through science, through engineering. And you can contemplate at some point in the deep past, because if we've been humans for 250,000 years, this could have happened before. I wrote a little book on it once. You could go into the deep past and you could contemplate the idea that humans have been here before, that we have been on the precipice, that we have been so close to being, in that kind of astronomer's terminology, a type 1 civilization, but we didn't get there. We got to 0.5, we got to 0.6, we got to 0.7, and then we just blinked out of existence. And in 250,000 years, that could have happened a few times. That could have happened 3 or 4 times. How many things do we build today that would last 20,000 years after collapse? How many? You name it. The buildings, the steel. How long does it take to recover all the garbage in a city? Could it all be recovered by nature, by wind, water, acidity, you name it, by snow and ice, time and pressure? How long would it take for the cities of today to be virtually erased and turned into sand? So we could have had 1 or 2 epics, just like this one, maybe more, where we reached a point where we're at right now, and we all want to believe it can keep going, and the real truth is it can't. Now, how does this connect to Proverbs 27:14? Because I shouldn't be cursing these people. If I could, I should help them, but if I can't, I should just ignore them. It's kind of like Mr. Jorgensen and his clan of trolls. I don't know who these people are for sure, but they're kind of just crazy, stupid people. And if it's 1 or 2 people running scripts, that's fine, although these emails, the ones I do inspect, have a certain kind of variety to them, so I think there's a little bit more going on. But it's just noise. There's no fixing it. It isn't going to get fixed. If I had the resources, I could fix it in a really cool way, but I don't. I would need a lot of money to do it, and I just don't have the money. But even if I had the money, I think I'd rather use it to buy a home with a piece of property, and maybe even just disconnect completely at that point. Because it is almost over. So I'm going to try not to curse people by saying good luck in the morning, okay? or loudly blessing my neighbor in the morning. It's a sarcastic bullshit I do, and I'm going to try not to do it. Last topic. Here we go. So, Zero Hedge pushes a lot of disinformation, a lot of garbage. And there's this one headline about the USDA cites wildfire risk invasive insects in orders to expand logging in the national forest. So let's talk about a few things. One of the myths, one of the lies that's been propagated in recent years is we're not gathering the twigs. We're not gathering the twigs and the branches in the forest, and therefore, you know, we're getting these fires. We're not gathering the underbrush. Folks, in a functioning ecosystem, you don't have to gather the twigs. In fact, the microbiome does most of the work. That's the little creatures, the insects, the single-celled organisms. They're out there taking the twigs apart in a healthy forest. You don't have to do that. Another thing, too, these beetles don't show up to healthy forests. These beetles are basically the wrecking crew. They don't show up when a forest is healthy. They don't show up when the forest is new. Beetles show up when a forest is dying. You can cut down all the trees all the live long day, and that is a true statement. But the question is, why are the forests dying? Why has it been so hard the last few years to plant new forests? Some places seem like they're doing kind of okay, but a lot of places, like around here, it looks like the top of the trees are being hit with torches, you know, blow torches. It's weird. And it's hard to know what's going on. It's hard to know because the people that you trust to give you information, the ones that say they're always right, especially about the arrows and the lockdowns and the coffee filters, when it comes to the ecosystem, they don't know. Bunch of dead animals, we don't know. Trees look all fucked up, we don't know. The sky's totally fucked up, we don't know. It's so funny, in 2020, we know you have to socially distance, even though cities have never been designed for social distancing. We know you need a coffee filter. We know you can take it off when you sit down at the restaurant. We know you need arrows in the grocery store. You need to follow the arrows. We know that somehow magically when BLM Antifa are putting on FBI-style Operation Chaos bullshit in Chastopia, we know that somehow that magically suspends the monkey herpes. I mean, but then you ask them about things like, hey, why did all those crabs disappear from the Bering Straits a couple years ago? And it's like, even though that's a gigantic thing and it should probably be relevant to our conversation, we don't fucking know. All those methane plumes in Lake Washington, we don't fucking know. It's funny how convenient the word science is used vis-a-vis what they think they know and what they don't know. What's important and what's not important. They know a lot about bullshit. They know a lot about stuff that's fake, about psyops that are fake. They know about that stuff. But when it comes to the things that impact your everyday living, to include the quality of the air you breathe, it's either A, they don't know, or B, it's cover your ass time. And there's a lot of cover your ass time articles being published right now on microplastics, on the we didn't know about, you know, that somehow there would be permafrost that would melt in Antarctica. There's a lot of cover your ass bullshit right now. So that's two categories. They still have the we don't know. Those are still very popular. We don't know. How could we know? Nobody could know. That's the ignorance defense, and science loves that one. And then the other category right now are lower level munchkins publishing shit because they know this, that when people learn the truth about geoengineering, there's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of rage, and the damage done to their brains will work against those who want to be protected from their fists. You can read the article if you want to. We can talk about people with Bic lighters and the poor people and how the peat fires that never go out in the north now. We can talk about all that. But the point is, nobody knows nothing. You don't know nothing. We don't know, right? We just don't know. Man, this summer is going to be fun. in the way that a person uses that word ironically. It is Tuesday, April the 8th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. It is just after 5 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And I imagine if I was walking down the street and I saw Rabbi Shmuley walking towards me, I'd say, "Good morning. Good morning, herpes." Have a great rest of your day.